be marvellous. Thanks to Ilan Volkov. And the City Hall's Knoll Fruit Market opened their doors on Thursday this week. If you'd like a chance to attend the performance of Symphony Fantastic on Friday night, then we've got four pairs of tickets up for grabs. Email us at theradiocafe@bbc.co.uk. You can phone on 0500 92 95 00 or text 80295. Last night, anyone watching Richard Dawkins' programme on religion might have come away with the idea that anything spiritual leads to nothing but conflict and problems. But we offer a ray of light in the darkness on the Radio Cafe. If you thought board games were called that for good reason, you might want to ditch your unhappy memories of being made mincemeat of in Monopoly and opt for Buddha Wheel. I kid you not. It's a board game where self-discovery and altruism are the watchwords. And even better, the game can go on forever and ever. The creator of Buddha Wheel is Devon-based artist Emily Priest. Emily, good to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Listen, this is a wonderful, novel idea. It's not about greed. It's not about acquisition. It's about finding your inner self and your strength. Were you or are you a practicing Buddhist?
Yeah, I'm a practicing Buddhist.
Tell us where this idea came from, because this is a very different sort of board game.
Well, I've always been inspired by the Wheel of Life, which was created by Buddha 2,500 years ago. Because it represents many experiences that living beings have, and also shows them in a circle to sort of illustrate karma and the fact that what we do now and who we are now creates who we will be in the future. When I had the Wheel of Life during my poverty-stricken days, it was the only framed picture I had in my room, so it definitely stood out.
It's an inspiration for you. It sounds as if it might be a little bit worthy. It's got to be fun as well, though. How do you make this game fun?
Well, we've been playing it during the testing period with lots of people who are familiar with Buddhism, people who aren't, people of all ages. And people really enjoy the chance. They go through the different realms and they pick up a card. So their little piece develops quite a character along the way. So there's lots of opportunity for self-reflection and also sort of sharing that. There's certain moments that make people giggle and that you wouldn't be able to giggle at if it was actually happening to you.
Well, give us a for instance then, go on.
Well, oh dear.
It's always hard when somebody asks you
well,
that.
Like, yeah, definitely. Well, like, for example, somebody begins to look up to you and you continue to act inappropriately. You know, that's an example of inconsideration. And quite often the players, they might play the game where they wouldn't fess up to it openly, but they might think, oh, yes, I've had a few moments like that.
What do you win? You don't win anything, do you? Or do you?
Well, the aim of the game is to get out of the wheel, because Buddha was trying to represent how we are stuck in a circle of rebirth. So what you try to do in the game is find your get positive actions, find your positive moments, and really hold on to them so that you become you start to relate to yourself as a positive person. And then through that, you're able to meditate on those positive minds, and it stops you from going into rebirth again and again and again, and you can become a Buddha.
This sounds so simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
It seems like the sort of game that you wouldn't have a big family fallout over. It's so chilled.
Yeah, definitely. And you can also play it with quite a few people. I've played one game once with 20 people at once.
Who are the best players? Are they the Zen Buddhists or the ones that don't know anything about it?
I'd say the kids are, because they're open to... spiritualism. They sort of go, you know, this is how I am, you know, and this is the path that I'm travelling along. The kids are open to everything.
It can go on and on and on into infinity, this game, can't it?
Yeah, I've got quite a few people who saved their game, because you can do that at any time. And then when I get it out and play it at different festivals, people can come along and they start where they left off, if you like. And also, when you become a Buddha, you can go back into the game and help everybody else out faster.
I'd love to become a Buddha.
Yeah.
It's quite expensive, though, isn't it? It's 45 quid. What do you get for that, then?
Well, you get lots of... I mean, it's got a... because of the aspect of it, it's a beautiful piece of artwork. The board is very, very large. And you get lots of... it's basically very educational and fun. And also, I've tried my best to produce it very locally so that I can work with... businesses that are smaller and help them financially as it creates itself. I've also tried to produce it as most environmentally as possible. So I've gone for wooden components, for example, where appropriate.
Oh, great.
Like
no plastic. I love you for that.
I couldn't deal with the guilt, really, of sending out a lot of plastic.
Well, Emily, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks so much. Good luck with it. Wishing you lots of good karma from the experience of making that. So it sounds
Thank
like
you.
Board game with a difference. There you go.
Excellent.
Now, here's a man who doesn't need a Buddha wheel to make him mellow. He has all those records lined up in the Tom Morton chill zone, don't you? Oh, I thought you had. He's so chill.
Nirvana.
Oh, I can hear you coming through the mists now. Sorry. Yes. The mists have cleared.
Yes, I was just saying, go to enlightenment. Do not pass Nirvana. Do not collect any £200 worth of karma.
You're so
or anything
cynical, Morton.
Bodhisattva. Well, we're not playing that. We could play that, I suppose, Steely Dan, but we're not going to. Instead, we're going to play music from Ben Lee, Sing Sing, who are formerly Lush or Lush-esque, Clearance Clearwater Revival, Ryan Adams and much else. We have music from the Rolling Stones and the competitions, plus some ridiculously odd stories. The Mouse That Set a House on Fire. It sounds like a book, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
It probably had bad karma going for it. 2 to 4.
Stay tuned for Tom after the news at 2. The woman who made it chic to smear hemp oil on our bodies knows how to fill a gap in the market.